Let me read to you. I chose today to read from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bible, I'm reading out of basically a King James, a modified King James, but I'm going to begin reading in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm going to read about four verses, beginning in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang even of one him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. But thank you for your manifest presence, the sensing of the witness of the Spirit, that we can know that you're right here with us. And Lord, I pray that you give me the words to say and be able to say them in ways that we can understand them, and give it continuity. And Lord, may you speak through the things that I share with these, your people. And may we all open our hearts and receive them. And may we, by your Spirit, apply them to our lives. Lord, today we bless you and thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you are ever present. And we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about something that usually when I share things with people, it's second-handed. And when I mean second-handed, usually the Lord talks to me about it, and then basically I just share with people what the Lord's talked to me about. And the Lord's been talking to me about this particular subject for some time. And I must confess with you to start with, I still haven't got my faith wrapped around it yet, but I'm on a way. I'm on a journey. You know, faith is a journey. Christianity is a journey. Some folks got the idea that all you have to do is make a confession of faith, get baptized in water, and then that's it. No, that's just the beginning. That's just getting you in the game, so to speak. But faith is a journey. I like Abraham because he is the one that we all claim as patriarch. We as Christians, we claim Abraham as the father of our faith. The Muslims claim him. The Jews claim him. And this man is to be admired, and his faith is still talked about, how that out of this man grew a multitude of physical people who can trace their ancestry back to Abraham, and by folks who spiritually can trace our ancestry back to Abraham. The Bible says, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we find this man by Abraham. We find it says by faith that he heard God and obeyed. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But that's just the beginning to act on our faith. See, faith is more than just something that we, that some sort of mental assent. It's not just, it's more than just a certain amount of rules or creeds or even scripture that we memorize and we hold as important. But faith is actually the application of those things. James said, you know, faith without works or corresponding actions is incomplete. It's dead. So faith has got to be something that has movement to it. It's dynamic. And, you know, faith is something that you can, I really believe that you can have faith in some areas and not have faith in other areas. And faith is not something that's just static, it's moving. Faith is something that we constantly need to feed and encourage. And you know as well as I do, there's times when our faith rises up and there's times when we wonder where it went. We deal with this. So, but what I want to talk to you about today is that by faith, Abraham, when God said, "Abraham, I want you to move," he obeyed, and his obedience was that he simply trusted God because he went out not knowing where he was going. He went out just trusting God that God was going to take him where God wanted him to be. And so I want to talk to you and ask you a couple of questions today. Oftentimes we talk about where we are. And I also want to raise the question not only where we are, but what we're doing. I don't know if it's because of my age, because of my occupation. I don't know why I have a habit. One of the first things I do in the morning, as soon as I get a cup of coffee in my hand, I read the obituaries. Maybe it just goes along with the territory. I read the obituaries. I read them not only in Illinois, I read them in Kentucky. I read the obituaries. And in reading obituaries, I find that death is random. Some folks, you know, you would think that it doesn't surprise us when someone reaches well up into years as someone passes. But then also there's folks that's just little babies. And sometimes I don't understand it. I don't understand the randomness of death. And sometimes I don't understand, but I've got a better handle on understanding some things. I understand there's some folks that's just as, can I say, as mean as they can be. And they're still around. And others, you think if the Lord needed anybody, they'd be still be here. But I read the scripture. It says, you know, in Peter there, it says, "Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But God's not slack concerning his promise, but it's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish." Some of the reason why some of these folks are still around, God's long-suffering. God's wanting them to repent. God's wanting them to come to a place of salvation, of knowing him. And sometimes we see some of these old reprobates that live a long time. God's long-suffering. He's waiting on his people. And, you know, we've sort of sometimes get the imagination of people have to become Christians when they're young. I'm seeing more and more older people become Christians. And we have a lot of different thoughts about that. But people that are well up into age that's becoming Christians. But the question is, it's, you and I are still here. We're still here. But why are we here? Do you ever think about that? Why you? You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm here by being careful. You know, you see people that eat better than you do and exercise better than you do and everything. They've been gone for several years. But why are you here? You know, why are you here? Well, as a Christian, you're here for a reason. You're here. The Bible says that we should show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're here to serve the Lord, aren't we? The Bible says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. We're here to carry out the work of the Lord. Now, think about that for just a minute. The work of the Lord is a pretty broad spectrum. You know, I remarked to a friend of mine one day. I said, "Well, the good Christians are down giving blood because that's why I gave blood that day." And they responded to me, "The good Christian's been working in the nursing home all day." You know what I'm saying? Is that not everybody does the same thing. And I've also found out people can do the same thing, but do it in different ways. But the thing about it is that we, a part of our being here, is carrying out the work of the Lord. That's part of our being here. Now, the thing that I want to encourage you about today is that the Bible talks about our Christianity as a race. Excuse me. The Apostle Paul, get my voice back here. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy there where he says, "I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. What I'm concerned about and what I wrestle with is this race is not only how you begin, but how you finish." Paul said, if you're going to run in a race, he said, run that you can win. He said, put yourself into it. And what concerns me is that a lot of folks, we would think it very strange that a person that runs in a marathon and comes up to the last leg of the race and we're all standing on the sidelines encouraging them, but their last leg throws up their hands and quits. And we'd say, how sad. How sad that they run well, but what stopped them? Somewhere in our minds, we've got to thinking that a certain age, you no longer are beneficial as a Christian. No longer beneficial. And we talk about throwing up our hands and letting someone else run the race. I've done my part. I'm sure you've done your part. We all do our parts. But I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to retire. Now, there's nothing wrong with retiring. But as a Christian, I hate to tell you, that's not an option. That's not an option. You can't retire. Now, I don't blame people for quitting their employment and doing something different. I struggle within myself. How am I going to do but yet do things differently than what I once did? I don't know about you, but I realize I got body parts I didn't know I had before. I realize I don't think as clear as what I once did. I realize that there are certain things that I find myself repeating myself. Don't make me nervous. I'll preach the sermon twice. I find myself getting older. And I find myself not wanting to do things. You know, there's things I used to enjoy doing, and there's things I just really don't care about doing anymore. All those things. But somehow I have to find out, where's the Lord at in all this? Where's the Lord at in all this? Well, I find that when God spoke to Abraham, he was 75. When God spoke to Moses, he was 80. Corrie ten Boom didn't become a missionary till she was, you know, well up in her 60s. Colonel Sanders didn't start cooking chicken. What I'm saying is, a lot of times we look at physical age, and we think about, you know, as the sun, as the earth goes around the sun 24 hours, those people, their years was measured just like ours. They use the moon, we use the sun, but same thing. But to get the idea that God doesn't use people like me and you, people that don't think as clear, people that don't move as much, people that you don't realize it. Have you ever realized that in the book of 1 Corinthians there, it says, "For God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." He says, not many wise people according to the flesh are called. Not many mighty according to the flesh. Not many noble. But it says, but God has chosen the weak things to confound to confine the strong. You know, he says he's chosen the things that are not to confound the things that are. Can you imagine if we were going to play a ball game today and we were all stand up there lined up and we would think that God, God was going to pick a team, he'd pick the ones that was a certain height, had certain abilities to run and all those things. And as God looked at all the people, that he look at people like me and you and say, "I want you." Because if anything about it is, we are the weak. We're not the mighty. We're the ones that in some sense society wants to push you off to the side. Sometimes we get in a family group and I just say things off the wall just to see if anybody's listening to me. You know, it's a good way to spark a conversation, and they got to the point where, you know, you just let him talk, you know, just say silly things. Well, what I'm saying here is we're spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings. And we measure and we minister through the Spirit. And there's things that you can't do physically. And nobody's telling you that, you know, the physical thing, but you know, the Bible says, I meet up with old friends. Of course, they make sport of me. But, well, I see you don't have as much hair as you used to have. You know, funny fellow loses hair and they make fun of him. You lose an arm and they feel sorry for you. You know, I can't get my head wrapped around all that. But what I'm saying here, and I've got a good comeback. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For though outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." See, we are the folks that minister in the Spirit. And when the body wears out, the Spirit's still strong. The Spirit part of you, the part of you that's capable of communicating with God, and God communicating with you, the Spirit part of you, is growing day by day. And somewhere we've bought into, just because someone gets to the point where we can't, that would be like saying that if a person had some sort of handicap, they never could be used by the Lord. But what I'm saying today is that we've bought into the part that people say, well, when you get a certain age, you're no longer any more useful. And my argument is, who says so? Who says so? We got biblical examples of people taking, and do we do it the same way? No, we don't do it the same way. But we do it in what I'm calling uncharted territory. We're going out because we're obedient to God into a place where we don't know. But the obedience comes in. Is that God has chosen us? We're in a miracle land. You know, the reason why God chooses the weak and chooses the things that aren't, the reason why God, it says that no flesh can glory in his presence. And when you see a move of God and you see all young people and everything like that, people are very quick to say, well, yeah, so one of the first things we need to do is accent toward young. Old people need saved too. And there's a lot of them out there, folks. There's a lot of them out there that's your age. There's a lot of them out there that's my age. And somehow we've got the whole thing that we've just excluded a very large part of society. And that's why some of us are still around. Some of us are still around because that's people that we can identify with. And that's people that and somehow we think of, we've got our paradigms of our church all wrong, and we think that it should be a certain way. And we think about the generation of tomorrow. We say, well, we got to have some young people because we're always waiting. We're always waiting for that time to come along when that person comes in. But what I'm saying is, you know, Paul says, as in 2 Corinthians 6:2, he says, we then as workers together with him beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We're workers together with God. We see God work and we work. We get it just the opposite sometimes. We work and we try to drag God into it. But God works and we work with him. And it says, we receive not the grace of God, the divine influence of God, the power of God, the grace of God that works in our life. He says, and he goes on, he says, for it is written, I have heard you. In a particular time. And in the day of salvation have I helped you. And he says, behold, now. Now is a particular time. Now is a day of salvation. God's salvation is now. And God's saying, the grace that you and I have received, the help that we received. See, even sometimes when our physical bodies begin to wear out, God still uses us. And you don't know the power that you have. And you say, well, and sometimes we get so caught up in doing things. Sometimes the best things we can do is get to the point where we can't do things and just trust the Spirit of God working through us. You don't know the power of prayer until you pray and realize that's what God's going to use. Somehow we've laid aside prayer and we think it's all these things that we do. We've got to do this and we've got to have this and we've got to have something else over here. What builds great churches is people that pray. People that pray. When I said great churches, don't get caught up in it's the number of people. No. Don't get caught up in the number of people. But I'm talking about people that are willing to allow God to use them. And see, that's the sermon to myself. And that's a sermon to you. Is that don't let the world, don't let Satan lay this trip on us that we're no longer useful. And don't buy off in the whole thing of saying within yourself, everyone gets tired. The prophet Elijah, after he called down, prayed and fire fell from heaven and it destroyed the prophets of Baal, he found himself running. He found himself out sitting under a juniper tree. And this man that prayed that it might not rain, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and prayed again and it rained, now was praying to die. Lord, just let me go. One reason, and everyone in here will agree with me, you're here because of the grace of God. And every one of you will buy off on this when you say, well, if I'm here, they must be something Some reason. Would you buy that? There must be some reason. What is the reason? What's the reason? And that's where we need to open ourselves up. You know, people, we need to reach out our hands. We need to stand up. We need to, as Jesus instructed the people that he could work in their life, we need to put our faith out there and simply say, Lord, you know what I'm capable of doing. And you know what you're capable of doing through me. He said, Elijah, what are you doing? He didn't say where you're at. He said, what are you doing? Elijah was very quick to say, well, Lord, you know, I've been very jealous for the Lord. And they've tore down your altars. They've backslid. They just killed the prophets. And there's just me. And the Lord let the angel feed him, and he ran in the days of that for 40 days and 40 nights and found himself there at Mount Horeb. And again, the Lord spoke to him and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And the question today, I don't think is so much where, but it's what. I don't fault people for retiring and moving to a warm place. I don't fault people for working till you're 90 years old or whatever and staying right here in Southern Illinois. I don't fault people for doing different things like that. But I need you to have a mindset of like Abraham, of leaving the mindset of the world that you're no longer useful. But I want to suggest to you, you're even more useful. Because a lot of those frivolous things you found out that a lot of those things you chased after when you was young, that you accomplished those things and you look at it and you think, you know, why am I here for? You realize that it's not material things. You realize it's not a lot of things that we chased after. And I want to tell you, you're in miracle land right now. You're in a place where you can get, where you can think about what, how God can use you. And you realize if you're ever going to be used by God, it's going to be now. And that's what he said. He says, I in the day of salvation have I helped you. And he said, behold, today is a day of salvation. This is the kind. If we're ever going to act, it's now. And the way we're going to act is we're going to listen. We're going to listen. I can't take and take what God said to me necessarily and put on you. And you can't take what God said to you, but we can hear. And we can live with people with good conscience. I don't know about you, but we've got a lot of family members that's in bad shape. Every place I go, I find people with family members that's in bad shape. I'm not just talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about away from God. And it's people like me and you, it's people like us that still hear, still can hear God, still know that God works and lives. I hate to say it this way, but the least we can do is find ourselves as intercessors. That's a poor way of putting that. Maybe that's the most we can do. If you can't get out of your chair, at least you can pick up the phone. There's a lot of lonely people in the world. There's lots of ways out there, some way. There's some kid that needs some help. You know, we're saving up all these things like this. I might need them. Maybe time to get rid of some things. There's people out there. And God has saved you until this day. God saved you until this day. that he can still use us. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting. It's exciting. You say, No. Yes. It's the most exciting things. Have you ever prayed and seen God answer your prayers? Have you ever prayed, trusted and led somebody in a prayer of salvation? You know, there's a lot of folks that's going to go out of this world claiming Jesus as a Lord and Savior, and they never can truthfully say that I've actually led somebody to the Lord. You know, but it's not you. That's why you're in such a great place to be used, because you know you can't do it. But he can, because we're workers together with him. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting. You know, you look back at your life and people, they fill their obituaries about where they've been and what they've done and all those things like that. And I want to be quite frank with you. I've been a few places in my life, but I've never found any place quite as exciting as seeing God work. I've just seen God work. And God can work right here in your hearts and in your lives. And he's not done with you yet. And this is not something I'm talking to myself here as much as I am you. You know, don't let the world just set us back in a place and say, you're no longer useful. You're no longer at a place where you the Holy Spirit can't use you. Because I read there in the Acts, and it says, and your old men shall dream dreams. Isn't that exciting? I don't know. You know, may not be so much to you, but, you know, some of the greatest revivals that we've known in history was by people one of the greatest revivals took place in our country was the Azusa Street Revival. It took place in Los Angeles, California, and it spread throughout, and out of that came several denominations. And it started in a livery stable by a man that was handicapped. He was blind in one eye, only had one eye. That was the days of segregation. He was a black man. He couldn't even get into some of the schools. He had to sit and listen. But God used that man. And as I look at that, I think of some of the most improbable people. And we look at ourselves and we say, well, God's got to use this young, dynamic, talented, versatile individual. No. He uses people that he gets the glory and he gets the honor.